Councillors will move on or to get a pay rise of almost £4,500 in their basic allowance. That represents a rise of nearly 50% and takes their annual payment up to £14,200. It's part of a shake-up of local government, sees the number of local councils reduced from 26 to 11. How do you feel about councillors getting £4,500 of a pay rise on their basic pay? The former MLA councillor, Seamus Close, with us. Morning, Seamus.
Good morning, Stephen.
Morning. And the Ulster Unionist Party councillor, Bob Stoker. Morning, Bob.
Good morning.
What do you think, Seamus?
I'm absolutely appalled. I feel that the electorate, and remember, the electorate are upon whom people depend to go out to vote, they're being more and more disappointed by the actions of our elected representatives. And there's this huge disconnect between the people and the politicians, and this is only going to exacerbate it. Nothing can justify such an increase.
Bob?
I totally disagree with that there, because councillors, in the first place, have a local connection between the political process and the people on the ground. And I don't want to get hooked up on figures here, but the basic allowance is increasing to £12,000. I'm actually reading Mark Durden's statement here. So from 9,700 to 12 is certainly not a 40 or 50% increase.
But it's a £4,500 increase that they're getting on their basic pay.
It is an increase. There's no doubt about that.
And who else is getting that type of increase in the public sector?
Trying to justify a wage increase in this day and age is difficult, to say the least. But the very fact that councillors are totally underpaid to begin with, that is where we actually should be starting from.
Who else, Bob, is getting that type of increase in the public sector?
No, there's nobody else getting that increase.
So one rule for the politicians and another rule for everybody else?
No, the politicians didn't make this rule. A separate independent panel are making these rules.
Whoever made the rule, doesn't matter whether it was the politicians made it or not, the politicians are getting it and everybody else isn't.
Yeah, and do you think it's fair that, you know, politicians, irrespective of who they are, comes out with a weekly wage of £160, way below the national average? You know, unions, if their members were getting that sort of money, they'd be clamouring, looking for massive pay increases as well.
Well, a councillor's a part-time job. It's not a full-time job, is it?
For some people, it's part-time. For quite a number of elected representatives,
but this isn't a salary, it's an allowance.
Yeah, but for a number of councillors, it is a full-time job. And for them, it's to get £9,700 a year at present. And don't forget, this is tax. They pay tax on that. They pay national insurance on that. Some of our councillors are coming out with less than £160 a week on average.
Of course, the blue water here between you and the position that I'm putting to you is that you're deeming it as a job, and I'm saying it's an allowance. Seamus Close?
It's not a job. Let's get clear here. I mean, talking about how much you're getting a week, could I remind Bob and remind the general public, and I'm sitting here with the last review of local government, which took place in 1973. In 1973, it was all about service. It was all about choosing key figures for tomorrow's Northern Ireland. It was about what we could do for the people. It was vocational. And back in those days, if you read through all the papers, there was no mention about money whatsoever. Why? Because we didn't get paid. We did it to serve the community that elected us, and we took pride in doing that. That has now all changed. It's not ask so much what I can do for my community, but it's now what can I get out of the community? What can the community pay me? And the other point that I must make here is that to talk about the additional powers for these new local government, local authorities, where is this power coming from? It has devolved down from Stormont. And I can recall about a year ago being on this programme and supporting an increase for our MLAs because I felt that they were underpaid. They now have less responsibility. Are they going to be taking less money, or are the electorate going to be further screwed and sucked dried by our politicians who, as I've already said, have this huge disconnect between the electorate and themselves? It's not about money. It shouldn't be about money.
You want to respond to that,
Bob? It should be about service.
Yeah, sucked dry.
So, you know, in 1972, you know, it was about those people who could afford to be councillors.
That is nonsense. I was one of them.
Yep, and you could probably afford it. So
rubbish.
The difference between then and now is we want to encourage people from all walks of life, and they shouldn't be at a disadvantage because they can't afford to be a councillor. So I want to see people from as wide a diverse background serving on councils, and they have to be remunerated to actually encourage that.
Yes, could I remind Bob that back in 1973, and I don't want to keep harking back to the past, but it was in 1973 that the cadre of politicians that are now running this place, that was where they were formed and formulated, and it was formulated through service, not through how much they could be paid, not by how much they could get off the taxpayer, but rather what they could give to the electorate by way of service.
Yeah,
that has now been put on its head, and I think that Northern Ireland is a worse place for it. I think politics is a worse place for it. And I think the electorate are responding by not coming out to vote because they're fed up with it. And the calibre of people that they're coming, because they're paying them this money, quite honestly, leaves an awful lot to be desired.
0845955678. Ken's on the line. Go on, Ken.
Good morning, Stephen. I'm reminded of Gerry Anderson's record south of the border down Mexico Way. Be aware of the politician who says there's nothing in it for me. It's the people I do it for. Where are we at this? We're creating another job. I think we should go back to the attendance allowance system. You turn up at a meeting at a council and you get an attendance allowance for the work you put in.
Well, they're going to be looking after bigger areas with these super councillors, aren't they? These super councils, more powers, more responsibilities, Ken.
One super council, strip out the whole level and just have the one set of MLAs in it. If you've got a level of governance in, is it the people I do it for, or is it a job creation scheme? I think that has to be determined.
When you say, Bob Stoker, that some you don't want councillors not being able to afford to do it, they get allowances and they get expenses. So there's no question of them not being able to afford to do it. The question that I guess you're introducing this morning is whether it'll be worth their while to do it in terms of their earning capacity.
Well, it's not a question of is it worth their while. No, I would say that most councillors would say in terms of financial remuneration, it's not worth their while. It actually, in terms of expenses, cost me money to be a councillor, and I would say quite a number of other people are exactly the same.
In what way? How could it cost you money to be a councillor? How?
My telephone bills at home are in the region of £300 a quarter.
For which you're able to claim expenses?
No, I don't claim expenses from council, so I don't.
So you don't get a mobile phone from the council?
No, I don't. I have my own.
But can you?
You can if you wish, but I don't. But that's a personal choice, so it is. You know, I don't want to go through the whole rigmarole of identifying what phone call is council business, what phone call is personal. So I just don't claim with regard to telephone calls. But you know, that's neither here nor there. You know, do we want to see people from all walks of life who sometimes could not afford to be a councillor actually coming forward to serve on councils? And, you know, I say the increase to £12,000 a year basic is nobody goes in the local authorities to make money, because they don't make money, so they don't, in comparison to...
Well, Mark H. Durkin's statement talks about a basic of 14,000. I've got the statement in front of me here.
I have the exact same paper here as well. Basic allowance, which is half of the national average. The national average is 24,000, and the basic allowance is recommended. All councillors should be paid £12,000 per annum.
I don't know where you're getting this from.
I'm getting it from chapter...
Let me read from the press release issued yesterday. To fairly compensate councillors for their increased roles and responsibilities and the larger electorates they will represent, a councillor's basic allowance will be set at £14,200 per annum. That's the press release from yesterday.
Well, I have something totally different. I don't care what press releases. I have got the official papers, Chapter F of the Annex. We make the following recommendation. All councillors should be paid £12,000 per annum.
Right. Well, we will go back to the DOE this morning and find out what the difference in figures is.
Yep,
because I can see this figure in front of me. DOE press release. Environment Minister Mark H. Durkin has finalised the remuneration, £14,200. John's next. Morning, John.
Hello, Stephen.
Go ahead, John. What do you think?
Stephen, I'm a full-time carer. Sri Ram, and I get £59.60 a week for being a full-time carer. That's what I get from the government. And I just find it disgusting that councillors are going to get a 50% wage increase. They want to get real, so they do. £14,500 a year for being a councillor. I'm lucky even getting near close to £10,000 a year for being a full-time carer. And I don't think it's right. And after that episode in Belfast City Hall, where they're standing arguing over a stupid scarf.
And you get how much as a carer?
You get £59.60 a week for being a full-time carer. And they don't even get £59.60. The way it works is that's taken out of your income support and they pay you back as a full-time carer. And I save, and people like me, full-time carers, save the government millions upon millions of pounds per year looking after loved ones. And yet again, we have to do with the between the 1-2% pay raise per annum, and councillors getting 50%. They want to live in the real world.
And clearly when you heard of this pay rise and you look at what you're getting.
Well, I just don't believe it warrants a 50% wage increase. It's supposed to be times of austerity. And this Conservative Lib Democrats pact, not once did they turn around and mention full-time carers in the road that we do. We're at the very bottom of the line every time.
What would you say to this, Bob?
I totally agree. Full-time carers should get a full-time wage because they're saving the government millions of pounds. No one disagrees with that. No councillor disagrees with that. It's only when you go to the higher-ups they waffle about, we can't afford it. Of course the government can afford it. They waste millions of pounds every year on non-relevant things whenever people like that are struggling, who are giving a service not just to their family but to the community and saving the health service millions of pounds a year. Of course, full-time carers should get a full-time wage.
Well, who do you care for, by the way?
I care for the disabled son who's got severe mental health issues.
And give me a typical day of what you do.
A typical day of what I do? Well, in the morning time, if there's any appointments, I have to get a taxi to where he has to go to and a taxi back because he can't use public transport. Which of my... what I get per week. He has 3 or 4 appointments a week and I have to find the money for taxis to get him here, there and back again, which comes out of what I'm supposed to get to live on per week.
So when he's going to medical appointments, there's no support for him to travel to those appointments?
No, because he goes to the Aberton complex up in the Crumlin Road and they do not pay for taxis. They don't pay for transport. You have to find that out of your own money.
So it's tough.
If he has any hospital appointments, it's exactly the same. And with my son, he is, for instance, over the past lot of years, he's had 25 suicide attempts. So in between going up there to the Royal or the Mater, every time he takes an overdose or stays with arms.
How old is he?
He's really serious trouble, so he is.
How old is he?
And see, this is the best of it all. Stephen, he's got multiple personality disorder. So on a normal day, if he self-harms, he takes an overdose, he goes up to the hospital. People with personality disorders cannot go into flat 10 or anywhere like that there because it's not on the statute books that people like that should be brought in and kept on the ward. So they get their stomach pumps out, exactly. They spend the night in the hospital. on the sick, can come over and see them the next day and they're sent home.
My goodness. I think your call's been a reality check for us this morning. Thank you so much for phoning me, okay? Are you still there?
Yeah.
Thank you very much for phoning me.
Thank you, Stephen.
All right. Thank you. My goodness. What a reality check.